We're missing Sacco, obviously Andy Carroll, James Tomkins. Obviously, those are the three players that would play or would be available or selected to play if they were fit. Leaves us very short in goal scoring options, because Andy and Sacco are the two leading goal scorers for us this season, so that leaves us a little short. But I'm expecting that Carlton will come in and play a big role for us in the next few games, and hopefully he can deliver what we know he can.
Situation with Sacco?
Thigh, maybe just back towards the end of the season, maybe not. We just have to be very careful with this thigh strain and make sure that it doesn't get a reoccurrence. Hopefully 3 or 4 weeks, but you never know.
Would you treat that with more caution based on the fact that you're not necessarily challenging for a European sport, or just let him
rest? If he's fit, he's fit. I think that we would say 100% fit. We wouldn't be risking him at 95%, or we'd give him that extra bit of time to make absolutely certain. And that would mean that he would probably have to complete at least 4 or 5 days training with the rest of the squad before he was available for selection. So we know there's no problem, and that would be the case.
Valencia's okay.
Valencia's recovered fine. That was just more of a stamp on his foot. That was a bit of bone bruising. That's recovered well.
What's your reaction to Manchester City's recent dip in form? Are they in danger of slipping out of the top four, do you think?
I'm very surprised that that Manchester City have lost 4 away games on the trot. I think that that's a huge shock across the football world, I think, in this country, based on the huge amount of talent, and like ourselves, they can't find a way to win at the moment, no matter how well they played. I mean, I watched them against Crystal Palace, and you know, Palace defended brilliantly after they got a couple of goals, but you know, Manchester City generally are exceptionally good at breaking down defences, that resilient, you know, but they can't, and haven't been able to manage it, and then obviously losing a goal to Burnley, and then Man United, and then Liverpool. It's been one that's going to test their nerve a little bit, and hopefully we can test the nerve. But at home, they've always been very good. So we know how tough it's going to be and how hard it is to get something there. But they are struggling a little in terms of their results. And I wouldn't say the performances are that bad. Certainly, by the way, they started against Manchester United, and you'd have thought that this is going to be the turning point for them. But unfortunately, by the end of the game, it was, you know, Manchester United deserving to win.
People are talking about the manager's future up there. Whilst I wouldn't expect you to comment necessarily on that, one thing that I did think you might have an opinion on is the fact that all the names that get linked with the job are all foreign names again. When are we ever going to get to a point where an Allardyce or a Pardew or someone like that?
Well, we've got Brendan at Liverpool, haven't we? We've got Brendan at Liverpool. I think that's a great bonus for British managers. I think that, and the job is done while he's there. So I think there's always there should always be hope for British coaches. I think that we're very, very good at what we do, because you can't survive in the Premier League or be good in the Premier League without being good at what you do today. You get tested at every level of your ability. So, you know, we all enjoy managing at this level, and we all want to manage as high as we possibly can. But yeah, we enjoy the club you're managing and try to get success with them. I think that's all you can do today, and then what will be, will be.
On that note, who do you think will get manager of the year?
Ronald Koeman, probably. I think maybe what he's done at Southampton for his first year in, and the amount of players they had to change around, and the fact that they've managed to sustain that top six place, is it, at the moment. And so I think that you know, for me, perhaps he would be my guess.
And just on planning for next season, you said last week, I think you had a meeting or having a meeting about pre-season. What came out of that? And if you were to get into Europe by fair play, would a start in early July be good for you guys or not?
I think that the difficulty is the fact that we don't know when yet whether we're going to finish in that spot. And so we've already planned for either one in it and one out of it. And obviously, if we're in it, we're back earlier, a few days earlier. If we're out of it, we come back the 1st of July, which is one of the smallest close seasons we've had for a long time. And even then, international players won't be back on that date, either earlier or on the 1st of July, because they won't have finished their international duties till middle of June.
Is it a headache you could do that?
Well, I don't. It's an headache, but I think that you've got to take the opportunity if it arises. If you come and well, it might be seen as the back door. It's an opportunity to play in Europe. I think certainly every player wants to not come back that bit earlier, but certainly looks forward to playing in Europe, because you know, this club hasn't been in that position to play in Europe for a long time.
Sam, you mentioned obviously lack of attacking options with a few injuries there. If Enna is back and available to play some part, obviously that's a big, big boost.
Well, yes, I mean, like I said, our strike force consists of Carlton and Anna at the moment. So, you know, those two guys have to perform to the very best and provide the goals that we need to try and win a game. I mean, our lack of victories has been really very, very disappointed indeed, when performances have matched a lot of games where we should have won, and because of our own deficiency we haven't. We've thrown them away, particularly in the last few seconds. So we've got to try and overcome that, but certainly playing at our top level is the aim on Saturday. Whether that gets us a result or not, we'll have to wait and see based on the quality of the team we're playing against. But, you know, when you're at Manchester City, if you're going to get anything, all your players have to play on top form. They have to hit their best level of performance in all areas. And if they've got the shooting boots on, which we need, then you never know.
And late goals, again, you mentioned that last week, another one against
Stoke. Yes, it's been a terrible thing for our results in terms of points gained based on performances that we've, in general, probably Stoke was one of our lesser performances, but we were 30 seconds away from winning and didn't again, and we've got to make sure that we focus and if we're in that position again, don't show the type of nerves we showed last week. I think we got exceedingly nervous in the last few minutes and made basic mistakes which kept allowing a little bit of pressure to heap on ourselves from Stoke, and they took advantage of it with a very good goal in the end. But we could have eased that pressure by retaining the possession better than we did.
Just finally from me, obviously two teams sort of with a point to prove, having not played quite so well recently. How do you think that will affect kind of the psychology of the game?
It's me to worry about my team playing as well as it possibly can against Manchester City. That's my focus. I mean, they're obviously, if there are any doubts in Manchester City's team that we can take advantage of, we will tactically lay that out over the next 2 days. But focusing on the players by saying maybe Manchester City are a wounded animal and come out all guns blazing on Saturday. And, you know, we've got to get ready for both, for me. Whether they're a little tentative, I don't know. We have to wait and see. But they could also be, you know, exceptionally determined to make sure they get a positive result in front of their own fans, and we've got to be ready to make sure we can counteract that and compete at in every position at every level against them.
Sam, what do you make of Gary Monk's comments saying you're a fantastic manager, saying you've had a fantastic season?
Well, we have had a good season, but we have thrown away so many points that we are really disappointed, because we could be sitting, well, alongside Gary or Southampton still. But in saying that, what Ronald Koeman and Gary Monk have been two exceptional managers this season themselves, haven't they? Considering it's both their first season in the Premier League. But obviously, when a fellow manager compliments you, very, very grateful for that.
Do you still have a points target, what you want to achieve this season?
We do, but I mean, but it's obviously changed based on we've slipped up with throwing so many points away, but we want to hit the 50-point mark or better. And I think that that will then make sure that we finish higher than we've finished in the Premier League in the three seasons we've been there. And I think that then makes us about having had a very good season again and progressed in the right manner with our players and our investment in the squad.
And is that how you keep motivation levels up for the remainder of the season?
Well, the motivation for the players should be that they've let themselves down by not achieving more results, not performances that have been very good. So making sure that they get the feel-good factor by winning football matches and as many as they can going into the last six games and finishing the season with that feel-good factor by winning a few more games.
Sam, yesterday Arsene Wenger reflecting on Jurgen Klopp and all the clamour around his decision to leave and saying he wants to come to the Premier League. He said it's a bit of a circus around that. When you see something like that, does it make the position of English managers and British managers more difficult? Because you've got people looking at it and saying, well, we're just going to bring in this guy from overseas now who, with respect to him, doesn't really know anything about the Premier League, he's not worked his way up the English leagues, which a lot of British coaches have. And he's just blocking the path for him, isn't it?
I think that it's like being a player, isn't it? You know, we've got the best league in the world, and because we've got the best league in the world, the biggest brand in the world, it attracts the biggest coaches and attracts the biggest players. And I think that we have to live with that. And that's why we have to be so good, not only as a player today, but also as a manager and as a coach. So I think we've got to embrace that challenge. And like I said, we're faced with that challenge, and we have to meet it head on. And I think most of the managers who end up in the Premier League or British are about having to get there via promoting the team that they work for, more than they get promoted from there by owners into the Premier League. So generally, your only way forward most of the time is by getting your team promoted into the Premier League from the Championship, and obviously lots of managers have done a great job doing it that way. But then again, there seems to be far more foreign managers now slipping into the Championship than ever before. I think there's only ever one foreign manager got a club promoted from the Championship to the Premier League, and that was John Tigana, Fulham, many years ago. I don't think anybody else has done it. So we have to meet that challenge, and if you're good enough, you will be good whether you're British or whether you're from abroad, if you're good enough at adapting and finding out what this league's all about. So I'm not surprised there's a lot of interest around him, if that's what he said. But he hasn't had as good a season as he had a couple of years ago, so perhaps that's why he's jumping ship and going somewhere else, perhaps, because he's seen that he can't go any farther where the club is at. Done a fantastic job.
Just one final one. Kick It Out have released a survey reflecting on social media and the problems that some players face with abuse on there. Do you feel that enough is being done to sort of tackle that? Because if someone, where you're sitting in the stands, if someone swears you, there's been instances of that, there's direct action that can be taken. It's almost like people can say what they want to players, racially abuse them, and the sanctions aren't really there.
I agree entirely that more sanctions should be in. I think it's a terrible abusive tool. While it's got a lot of advantages, we all know that, the disadvantages are just exactly what you said. So the trouble is, because it should be a worldwide law. You know, so they should be held to task that it's a worldwide. It shouldn't be just be the fact that because it's not from this country, they have trouble telling him to stop doing it or whatever they're doing that. But certainly from an abuse point of view, it should hold a lot more punishment than it does.